All right, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dr. Laura Vinaird, assistant prof at the University of Guelph Richtown campus, and I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors and their contributions. Kelsey O'Reilly has just finished her MSc and is now employed. That's why I'm up here. Dr. Darren Robinson did the weed science research. Dr. Richard Vine, the economics. Andrew Holland was responsible for the soil quality, and Elaine Roddy for the insect and disease monitoring. Now, for the life of me, I cannot remember what possessed me to put all of these things into one 12-minute talk, so you'll have to forgive me. I'm going to go straight into experimental design and then results, focusing on the sweet corn rotation. So we were in a pea cover crop sweet corn rotation. We have two sites in alternate years. It was a completely randomized design with four replicates. The main plot being cover crop. The split plot was nitrogen treatment, where we had the full rate versus the full rate. Full rate versus the zero rate. The nitrogen plots were 8 by 6 meters in size. And then that subplot was during the sweet corn season, separated into weedy and weed-free. The cover crops were planted Bothwell site in 06 and Richtown in 07. The differences between the dates are more a function of when the processing pea crop came out of the field. The cover crops tested were a no-cover control: oats, fall rye, oilseed radish. Oilseed radish was included only at Richtown, and then oilseed radish plus rye. The cover crops were allowed to overwinter and were incorporated the following spring prior to sweet corn planting. Each site was analyzed separately. It's mainly due to environment, and in particular at the Bothwell site in 2006, we had 150% rainfall in September and 200% of the 30-year average in October. So significant rainfall in 06, and then 07 was extremely dry. So for that reason, as well as the extra treatment, the two sites were analyzed separately using a mixed model in SAS. So jumping straight into sweet corn yields, what we see is that there's no difference between the cover crops compared to the control in the fertilized plots and as well in Richtown. When we, obviously when we have no fertilizer, there was differences. However, we're mainly interested in the fertilized controls. The zero N was included to look at nitrogen dynamics. So from a yield perspective, growers, we demonstrated in 2 years that yields were not compromised by the cover crops. For nitrogen dynamics, what I'm going to show is total mineral N throughout the season. I have a poster that deals that shows both soil plus plant nitrogen and total plant available N, and that'll be this afternoon. What we can see in 2007 at the Bothwell site during the sweet corn season, that the cover crops tended to lower soil mineral N, and this is from the 0 to 60 centimeter depth, both in the fertilized and non-fertilized control. However, this trend was not observed at Richtown, and we could not pick out a lot of differences at Richtown. However, I'll point out the, I'll point out that that this at Richtown is a rather fertile site, and that's observed quite well in the zero controls. For plant available N, so both the soil nitrogen and the plant uptake in the sweet corn, there were no differences at harvest in plant available and between the cover crop treatments. Moving on to weeds during the sweet corn season, at Bothwell, the most dominant species was a long-spined sandburr, and at Richtown was a common ragweed. The Richtown site had previously been in weed management trials, and so there was a quite healthy seed bank at Richtown, weed seed bank. Results here in the sweet corn year. Looking at Bothwell site first, although there was an interaction between counts at 28 days after treatment and 58 days after treatment, I should state now that the sweet corn was treated with herbicides according to the weed spectrum which was present. So this data is based on a conventional rotation where we did treat with herbicides. What we can see is that at Bothwell, the cover crops were not different than the no-cover control in any of the weed dynamic parameters. However, at Richtown, there was no difference of the cover crops compared to the no-cover control in biomass and weed density. So they weren't different from the control. However, species richness and evenness was different at the Richtown site. Looking at insect and disease pests, wireworm was assessed prior to and after sweet corn planting, just after, and we used baited traps to assess wireworms where we, at the 15 centimeter depth, put in carrot slices, counted for wireworm damage and wireworm counts, and there was no difference between cover crops, and that was observed in both years. For the rest of the pests, they were scouted from 10 to 2 weeks throughout the season, and we scouted 6 meters in length of the plot and two rows. This data here summarizes the scouting as well as harvest assessments. And you can see, similar to the literature, European corn borer tended to have higher populations with the cereal cover crops compared to the other cover crop treatments. For the rest of the pests, there was differences between years and between cover crops. Where I have listed there, not observed, it should more accurately be not observed at a level to provide for statistical analysis. So we can see that there are differences among cover crops and among pest species. For soil quality, again, we're looking 1 year after incorporating cover crops into the rotation, so we did not see any differences in soil shake or slake measurements, soil temperature, moisture, bulk density, but we did see differences in bait lamina feeding, which is an indication of biological activity. At the top, we have Bothwell. This is in the spring. And then at the bottom, we have Richtown in the spring. We tend to see in both years or both site years, the oats tended to be higher than the other, and that was a significant difference compared to the no-cover control at both sites. Looking at economics, for the economic analysis, they used the cost of the cover crops as well as the cost of drill planting, and they used a custom applicator rate to estimate the cost of planting. Dr. Vine also compared the cost of fertilizer application and the cost of the fertilizer itself. And for the fall rye, the treatment of glyphosate to control and that application of glyphosate went into the economic analysis for costs, although the costs were assumed equal. And for the revenues, it was solely based on sweet corn yield. And so what we can see, the light blue are with nitrogen, dark blue without, and the hash bars are the no cover control. And we can see that at Bothwell, the cover crops were as economical or more economical than the no cover control. Similarly, at Richtown, although there's more differences there, the no cover was less economical or the same economics as planting a cover crop. So from an economic point of view, it's as profitable or more profitable to plant a cover crop. So our objectives here were to try to look at many factors in one trial in the hope that we could elucidate the most appropriate cover crop. However, we can conclude that these cover crops are appropriate in sweet corn production, but the selection will have to be based on your goals. We couldn't, based on everything pulled together, and come up with one optimal cover crop within that rotation, and selection should be based on production goals. I'd like to acknowledge the following funding partners and collaborators, and I'd be happy to take questions.